The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Penny's Going In Raw, we have on Kenny Effing Powers. Happy 420. One.
Hey, yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav in the building for the Atlas crew.
Atlas Trading, what the f*** is up?
They're traders, they're prodigies, and then there's legends.
We're up 4%, baby.
No way.
4%
by the f***ing dip.
Hey, who told me about IDEX?
Like, dude, what the fuck? Like, someone just made, like, a lot more money than me on my trade.
You find out, life's this game of pennies.
Did you check the portfolio?
Pennies.
The margin for error is so small.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
And they out there making money right now off of penny stocks.
Them two guys is putting in work to make y'all rich.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Time to think big.
Pennies going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity It Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny Strokes, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Benzinga. Benzinga is our absolute favorite resource to use when we trade. We use it for new scanners. We use it for float checkers. We use it for stocks. Screening, we use it for just about everything, including chat rooms and much, much more. But that's not all they have. They have YouTube as well. Hot Stocks Luke every single day has great guests on, ranging from Ripster to Mia Khalifa to Gary to all the best guests you need to hear from every single day, all day long. So make sure to go check that out. That's youtube.com/Benzinga. And if you look in the replies to this tweet, you will see how to get a discount code for Benzinga Pro. Make sure to go sign up for Benzinga Pro right now. And now we have on Kenny Powers, an OG trader. Happy to have you on. What's going on?
Glad to be here. How are you, man?
Doing fantastic. You know, obviously a little bit choppier in the market, so I could be doing better. Have you been holding up during this this kind of small cap SPAC just destruction?
Oh man, it's been a slow bleed to my account, in all transparency. Swings have been shit, so I've been trying to stay a lot of cash, right, and taking day trades when I see them.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to, you know, transition so much, because you were a very big SPAC guy, swing guy. You played sectors a good bit though, but I mean, you were big into the SPACs before. You know, I mean, we saw you posting your shower gif on a daily basis as the SPACs started to tank.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, the SPACs were a theme just like anything else. You know, we've seen several themes and you play the theme. And during that time, you know, with SPAC and Fisker, and SPACs were hot. You know, the new SPACs that were hitting the streets, people wanted to do the due diligence, dive into them. And, you know, anything that would come out of it that was good was a payday. So,
well,
a theme just like anything else.
Well, I guess kind of prior to the whole 2020 market, where we all kind of, you know, everyone came into their own and everyone figured out about this whole FinTwit thing. How did you kind of get into trading? I feel like I've known you for quite a while, but I don't think we've ever gotten into that.
I think investing is a side effect to earning, right? So I've had a career and was in sales my entire life. And, you know, the output of a career is money. So the savings would be, you know, driven into what I thought would be disruptors into the market. And then, you know, I really, really picked it up kind of when you really picked it up. We were COVIDed out, right? Everyone was home and all pushed behind our computer screens. I wasn't traveling anymore for work because of COVID. There were no in-person meetings, no handshakes anymore. So I got a lot more screen time. And that's when I really started paying a lot of attention to it, right? I would be a catalyst swing trader. You know, after COVID started, I was managing my account much more and paying a lot closer attention to it. That makes sense.
Yeah, so you still are working a good bit. You find yourself doing a lot of things besides just trading. I know even your family has businesses that they run that you find yourself pretty active in. And I know this is still one of the main things that people like to know. You have enough money to quit these jobs. I mean, you do not have to be working or helping out at the pizzeria or the ice cream shop or doing things on Benzinga. But I mean, you keep active, I guess is one way to put it. How are you managing trading now, especially? I mean, it used to be 6 months ago, you just swing and you do your work and, you know, it's you have your alerts. But now, you know, everyone has got to find themselves day trading a little more. How are you managing workload and stocks?
Yeah, so COVID has put me behind computer screens. Now that the market's a little dry, if you will, it's a shit market. It's not a swingers market. It's more of a day traders market. You have to have more screen time. But I just keep everything on the background. I use a lot of alerts still. If there's something that's moving, I use Twitter as a scanner. I use the Discords, Atlas Trading, on a day to day. Just keep that in my rear view. If I notice anything that drops on you know, news feeds, etc., or plays that the floor thinks are hot, I may take a position in. You don't see me really post those on Twitter too much anymore because they aren't longer swings. They could be the in and out, and you know, I'm on my merry way with some green. It's a grab green market, right? You see it, you got to take it.
Yeah, I love that, the way that you put that. You see green and you take it, because I think that's you know, the past few, or really the past year, it's been, you know, every dip on growth names is a buyable dip. And now we're seeing any kind of uptrend is a chance to sell into those growth names. So it's really been tough. And I know that you do so much. Can you touch a little bit about how you do balance all of your jobs, but I guess your main job and trading?
That's what I literally just fucking asked him.
but I wanted him to continue. Because
go ahead, right, Jess.
Yeah, listen, I'll re-ask you, Kenny. I'll re-ask you because Dan over here. All right. let me see the better way to ask that. Okay. So, yeah, Kenny, so you do, you're a super busy guy, and obviously you don't have to work, but it's always nice to have that income. Fuck, Dan.
What? I mean, you asked the exact same question with two words different.
Yeah, but I don't understand why 2 minutes in you're going into that question.
Well, what would you like to ask?
I think the question is why haven't I made the leap yet?
Because
I haven't been forced with the decision. You know, I've been able to manage it all at the same time. It's all been balanced. You know, when that day comes where I'm forced to make a decision, whether it be, you know, work is way too busy and I can't trade, or trading is just it's taking too much of my. You see where I'm going with it? Where, you know, if that yin and yang get out of whack, then I have to make a leap.
Well, but you have made a recent career leap, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I have. You know, I made a change. There's the way I look at it is, you know. Trading is my passion. Talking about stocks to my friends, family is also my passion. And, you know, I was offered the opportunity to work for an organization, Benzinga, and great, great company, growth company. They're growing tremendously. They put out a good product. I thought that if I'm potentially making the transition to full time, then why not take a position to where I can talk about what I love and the conversation is seamless, you know, from my day-to-day trading and talking with friends about stocks to, you know, business conversations about the stock market, right? It made sense.
Yeah, definitely. And so I know that you talked about you being a COVID trader, but also that trading is your passion. How did you start in the markets? Was it literally like this past year, or was it your 401k? Did you always kind of dabble?
So I've always dabbled in it a lot, you know, more so than not. 401ks came when I was with Big Blue in the past, and COVID gave me the opportunity to pay more attention to it, more so than not. And I actually got really, really ingrained when I crossed paths with, you may have heard this guy, Zach Morris on StockTwits. And I shot him a little DM. I said, hey, man, by chance you got a Discord? And he said, yeah, here's the invite. And lo and behold, it was Atlas. So Atlas was my first Discord, and it's still my only Discord. You know, I obviously have a couple others that I run in the back room around like Sapphire and so forth. But and I saw how they operate. And that's, I mean, it's as long as you use your head and you're patient. I really think that anyone can learn this game. Maybe not in this market. This one's tough. But
do you think of anything that you learned at your, you said you worked sales most of your entire life. Is there anything you took away from sales that really in turn helped you trading?
100%. You know, when I saw, I'm gonna get to your question because this is gonna help with the answer. So when I saw the way Hugh attacked his DD, I did that same exact DD, uncovering opportunities for the companies I was with. Right, so I would dig into the CEO, who the people are behind it. You know, what is the disruptor? What does sales and revenues look like? Paralleling that with the DD in stocks, right? It's very similar. As long as you can peel away those layers of the onion to get to, is this going to potentially be a profitable outcome for you? You're going to find yourself having success. Some people don't do it too well, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think one thing that I noticed from having a sales job, and I've touched on this in the past, it was a third-party door-to-door job selling AT&T products. I think, if anything, that has found me more guidance than just about anything. Like, it's taught me so many lessons for so many different aspects of life, regardless of, I mean, because you're going to experience no's, you're going to experience failures, and it's always, what could I have done differently? But at the same time, sometimes a trade just doesn't go your way. There's only so much you can do. I mean, the chart may look perfect, but, you know, it could still end up tanking.
There's never the perfect trade. I think in every trade, you can always find one thing you could have done different. But will that setup be exactly the same for you to capitalize that on that in the next trade, you know?
Yeah, there's a super like human element to both sales and trading to where, you know, everything could be perfect. The guy is spending way too much on his cell service and way too much on his satellite, using a worse company. You can get him a deal with better phones, better TV, everything the next day, half the price. You know, why wouldn't he take it? The same way the chart is looking perfect. You know, it's bound to go up. Volume's all there. But there's a human aspect to it where that the guy can say no, and there could be an offering within the next few minutes. Yeah. So
it could always be the offering.
Yeah.
You're right. I think sales has definitely taught me many attributes, you know, throughout my life that I've been able to successfully leverage in my day-to-day trading career, if you will. You know, and to your point, Dan, I think the human element is key. You know, understanding what the whole market sentiment is. You know, what types of themes are running. Would this be a good position to take that works with what kind of market you are in today? You know, you won't see many swingers saying that this is an enjoyable market right now, right? So you got to make your
no.
Be greedy. Yeah, be greedy with your buys. Be greedy with your entries, and be patient with everything.
How difficult was it for you to be like, you know, I've always been a swing trader, which I assume happened from being the working man trading. You know, you don't have all day, every day to look at your phone. How did you exactly transition? Yeah, it's one thing to know it's not a swingers market, but there's another thing to accept your losses down 30%. You know, there's stocks that look good that just right now are not great. I mean, you saw Clove until just yesterday or until this week. UWMC is still down a ton. It's second biggest mortgage company. All of these things. But how do you accept the fact, hey, I need to sell. I can't be stubborn and just hold.
Oh, shit. How do you accept the fact? If the market's going against you, then the market's going against you. It's nothing. It could be nothing wrong with your DD. It could be nothing wrong with everything you've done to have success at this point. but the market could tell you otherwise, right? So don't try to push against the market, because it's going to win. It's like the goddamn ocean. You know, if Mother Nature gets nasty, it could be a bad day.
Yeah.
You know, so take it with a grain of salt. Losses do happen. It's not the end of the world unless you really effed it up, but you know, be in a position to have success for the next go. Because at any time the market can dictate a position where you can have success. You know, like the NFTs. Yeah. NFTs were popping in a shit market, but they worked. And we were trading what was in front of us.
Yeah. And what I used to do is when I was young is that, or, you know, younger in my career, is that I would make, you know, let's call it like 700-800% by the time that June, July came around. And then inside that 6 weeks, you know, what is usually known as the slow stretch of the small cap market, I would lose like half of my account. So half of my gains inside that 6 week stretch would just be gone. And then by the time that December rolled around, I would be back to where I was like June and July. And that's just because, you know, kind of like the when to press it and when to take the foot off the pedal and kind of really just take down the price, you know, take down the goals and just make what you can. And also I wouldn't enjoy not that I wouldn't enjoy life, but I wouldn't enjoy, you know, like going outside, you know, inside a slower market, you can go to the park and you can do those things when it's a hot market that you don't want to miss. And I think that's a really important, you know, key that a lot of new traders, miss out on.
Oh, I would agree to that 100%. I mean, look, there is a to-do list on everyone's piece of paper. There's that book that you always wanted to read. There's that that new program you wanted to set up. There's some education material on Atlas that you want to dive into. You know, I use slow markets to do just that, or just, you know, shoot the shit with my friends and hang out with my family. You have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, right? It's just that simple. It's life. And sitting on your hands is never a bad option, and having cash in your account instead of watching it go out the window is never a bad option either.
One thing I've always been impressed at you is being able to kind of spot an upcoming sector. And although some of them are a little conspiracy theory reaches, you know, sometimes you're not exactly going for the low hanging fruit. You'll definitely do some twists and turns to find some. But there were a few, I remember one was like, you know, what was it for no coins? That was your DD, the no, what was it? Help me out here. It was one that went up, it gapped up like 500% off of the coin shortage.
Oh, Socket.
Yeah, Socket. Yeah, and things like that before it was like widely known, and you were going and, you know, it was right as all the stores started having the pictures of chain shortage and things like that. And then sure enough, a week and a half later, it went up 500%.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to the theme, right? So what will be the talk of the town? You know, you're playing and making money off what is the talk of the town, you know, but as far as what could be, you know, that's the rumor. And I like to be in very early because I work. So I'm in, I'm patient. I put my chips in and I let them marinate. I'll give you for instance, Socket. You know, everything, themes were rotating. I think it was, you know, when COVID hit, it was vaccines. And then it was
food delivery.
Food delivery, right? And then the food delivery and people weren't getting cash. So it was coin shortage. And I was actually at Wawa getting a soda, and I saw that due to the national coin shortage, exact change is preferred, and I was like, well what's next, you know? And Socket, that particular stock, was basically no touch point of sale devices, right? Like barcode scanners and shit like that. And I was like, well, no one wants to, you know, you aren't shaking hands, you're wearing masks, and what is the final touch point between two individuals at a point of sale? it's that cash, it's that currency, right? So you could be keeping your distance, but you still have to exchange that dollar bill or those that money, right? So what would be that final disruptor to keep people away from each other? Well, touchless point of sale. And it just so happened that they, you know, I've reached out to their CFO. I think their CFO was also their head of IR. You know, I said, you're missing a golden opportunity here. And they ended up dropping a press release. And it made sense with those particular market conditions. And you're right, it gapped huge.
Yeah, huge. Well, two things out of that story that I kind of got. You kind of saw this out of, you know, this wasn't internet studying. This is just you doing your routine. I know you. You go to Wawa quite a lot. And yeah.
Dude, Wawa's the best thing. There's no better condiment store.
A condiment store. Do you know what a condiment is? Well, yeah, they only sell ketchup. They only sell ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise there.
Convenience store. Well, that works.
But yeah, I'm sure they do sell some condiments there. but you were at this local condiment store, and you see this wasn't something you just saw on the news or somewhere. You saw it in person. You decided to, you know, Jimmy Neutron brain blast, figure it out. And the second thing I got from that is you think you're responsible for the PR that made it gap up 500%. How responsible?
I don't think I'm responsible. I know. Yeah. Hey, I've listened to you guys for quite some time, and you guys are young bucks, and I'm an old. You know, we can learn a lot from each other. The way Hugh would reach out to IR teams, there's never a bad time if you're invested in a stock to put in a call and try to uncover what you can.
Hey, you got money in their stock. They got to answer. It's like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption writing to get the books.
Yeah, that's basically how it is with DD and trying to reach out to some of these small cap investor relations. You go years without any of them talking. And
one day they send you awesome. 200 court assigned novels. go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, Kenny, something that came up with a friend of mine is that sometimes mentally when he's trading, some days he loses more than what he'll make at his actual like salary job. Have you ever come across that?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
How do you handle that? Like it kind of becomes like, what's the point? You know, if I'm going to lose,
and if it's in a day or a couple days, then it's feasible. You know, don't do it over a long term, right? I mean, yeah. Once you understand and you have some growing pains and, you know, to quote you, pay your market tuition, you're going to have red days. It's just the nature of the beast. You know, some people have less than more and they might want to look to another profession. But, you know, keep the losses small. And how do you handle it, right? You do your best to minimize the damage. If you know that a trade is going against you, how do you
get the fuck out
without crushing your account?
Does this ever like affect your day to day at work? I mean, do you ever let your jobs affect your trading? Does trading ever affect your jobs, vice versa? I mean, when you think you have a job, you have a wife, you have a kid, you have trading in this market, which is probably like four jobs. But like, do they ever affect each other? Do they ever get in the way of each other where it's hard to handle one but not the other? Like, they ever get in the way?
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, they're two different things. I mean, how do they get in the way? So I've put myself in a position where they don't, and that comes with time. Anything you do long enough, you're going to find a way to make it work. And, you know, meetings, I'm not trading while I'm in meetings. I'm setting stop losses if I'm actively in a trade and I have to go take a call or make a call. You have to put yourself in a position where there's a fail safe because you guys have seen it. I mean, offerings midday or a knife midday, you know, as long as you have your ducks in a row before you have to make the effort on whether it be trading and job or job and trading, you know, you can get out unscathed. And that just comes with time and experience and use your automations because they help. And that's what I do.
So you seem very put together, well-rounded guy. Not so much the Kenny Powers Eastbound and Down, Danny McBride kind of persona. Like, how did you become Kenny effing Powers?
Oh, man. I like that show. That dude's Danny McBride, the actor. He's just a good fucking dude. You know, what I like about the character, he doesn't take shit from anybody. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to get what he wants to get. And I found it very funny. The moral of the show is that guy just doesn't give up. As many times as he's just down, he just picks his shit up and goes on about his business. And that's kind of how I've lived my life. You know, not as crazy as Danny McBride or Kenny Powers by any means, but knowing that with growth, there's going to come, you know, some down times or some bad turns in life, and, you know, just get up, shake it off, and keep going. Because, you know, you yourself are the only one who's going to get you to whatever destination.
There's two gifts you use a lot I really like. The first one is Danny McBride and the little kid shooting the AR. The other one, which seemed to get a big start during the Fisker fiasco, during the like 2 months straight of it being read every day, the Kenny Powers crying in the shower. He's got the tan line. I mean, it speaks to a lot of people. A lot of people like that gif. It's, you know, it's demanded some days because some days are just so bad. There's nothing more you can do than to combine your tears with the water bill, you know?
We kind of dubbed that gif the man defeated gif. You know, when just you're trying to do everything to make it work in the market, and you think you're getting good entries, and that entry wasn't a good entry, right? You're buying where you should buy, where everything lines up right, and you're doing what you can do, but it's just going against you. And there are days like that.
Yeah.
Today's a pretty shitty day.
Yeah, we're recording this on 420 for anyone wondering. This reminds me of the market that initially spawned that gif, the one of Fisker dying every day. But this, it is very similar, but I feel like I went into this market more of an educated person this time. You know, I went full cash. I wasn't scared of taking a 10, 15% loss. And thank God, because those 10 to 15% losses became 60% within the next month. So judging by that first one, what did you kind of learn from that one, and how did you take it into this little down market?
If market sentiment is going against you, you know, don't try to fight it because you won't win. You know, you're one retail trader in a sea of big money. You know, the first one, I guess the first one you're talking about, SPACs, that one, it just, you know, it had its run. Should have took some profits. I didn't. I wrote it down and I wrote it back up to $31 or something like that, over 30, high 20s. But it's just, if it's not right, you know, don't kill yourself. You know, just learn to sit on your goddamn hands and be patient, and it'll come around. And like we said before in the interview, find some other shit to do. You know, there's no better time than a slow market to get some shit done that you have on your to-do list and you just haven't gotten around to. You know, learn something else.
Kenny, speaking on that, how do you kind of sift through, because you are incredibly busy, but how do you kind of, especially when you were a newer trader, how did you sift through all the different information? And it seems like pretty quickly you became a catalyst swing trader, and that was in part due to your job. But how do you sift through all the different information and, you know, kind of get the quality? Because sometimes when there's so much information, it can be so overwhelming, and therefore you learn absolutely nothing because you're trying to learn everything.
Yeah, there's a phrase that I use, and you guys may have read it on my Twitter. It's get fast at moving slow. And I think, you know, a lot of people say that the screen time, you know, more screen time, just knowing the routes to take to get to where you want to be in order to make an educated buying decision, right? Like to enter a stock for swing. You know, so as at first it was overwhelming. I mean, there's noise everywhere. And if you buy into the noise, you're distracted from what you're originally trying to do because you're following someone else's call, and then you're hearing somebody else on Discord tell you about this other stock. Then you never get to point B, right? Which is the whole reason you started from point A. But so I've just gotten very good with time to get fast at moving slow. You know, I have my checklist that I go through, chart. I read SEC filings. I check FinViz. I know shorts. I know float. All that good stuff. And then, is it a disruptor? Could it be something to where this stock is going to be noise, depending on how long I want to swing in it and what the timeline is until that the particular catalyst that I'm in that stock for. You know, when should I see a paycheck from it? Low down. And finish the first time. And after you finish the first time, you're going to get faster the second time and even faster the third time. Just quietly move through your day to day.
Yeah, it's definitely one thing to kind of make it out of the woods, you know, to get to the jewel. And one way to get to the jewel, and regardless of the amount of forest in the way, is using all the tools that Manscaped has to offer. And you can actually get those tools today using the code PGIR for 20% discount and also free shipping. So to get through those rough times in the market and to get to the jewels and any forest you got downstairs to see your jewels, make sure to use code PGIR for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Well, sorry, guys, I had that one in there.
Yeah, I did buy Manscaped.
And yeah, how you like it? A
very good product, you know, based off of both of your recommendations. You know, in a sweaty blood market like this, at least my balls are cool.
And not bloody.
Not bloody.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Thank you, Manscaped.
All right, man. Well, obviously, we've had a blast having you on today. I think this will really help people that are, you know, working, that feel like, how am I going to trade while working? And sometimes it is best to just step away for a little bit. This isn't a swingers market. And, you know, it's time to step away. We've been saying it. You said it. Everyone's saying it. So, yeah, take it slow. Take your gains. And if there's anything else you have to plug to let the people know, Kenny, hashtag eat them.
Guys, it's been a blast. I appreciate your time. Hopefully the market turns around and we all bank again soon.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you. And let's try and close the day green, huh?
All right, guys. Be well.
All right. Take care.
See you, Kenny.
Hey, just wanted to get give a quick shout out before I leave, guys. Zach, PJ, the GOATs, thank you for everything. Atlas Trading for Life. Incredible, Bob. You've taught me more than you probably know. Adeline, all the Atlas OGs, all the folks on the day to day, you know who you are. Dan and Hugh, thank you very much. You guys are crushing it. Always looking forward to the content you guys put out.
All right, guys, and that's going to do it for this midweek episode. We are so happy to have Kenny on, something that we've been trying to put together forever. It feels like, you know, we've all really grown close to Kenny. Such an awesome guy, such an amazing trader. My favorite quote of that was, get fast at moving slow. I love that. I think that that's for anything in life, but especially trading, really holds such value. So thank you again to Kenny for coming on to PGIR. Finally, coming on to PGIR. I know you're a super busy guy. You know, as always, guys, if you love our content, if you think Dan is funny, if you think I'm somewhat funny, please give us those 5 stars at the bottom of Apple Podcasts. That's the only thing we ask for, and it helps us out tremendously. And we will see you Sunday, baby.